Hi.
Hi, Brittany, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, okay, well, how's your trip?
It's good. How's everything there?
Things are going good here.
Crazy day.
All right, well, yeah. Yeah, everything's fine here except for Mike misses you.
Oh, no, I miss you.
Well, I miss you too. I miss you too. Okay, I'm gonna, well, I guess I don't need to do anything. You're just gonna have to listen to us for the next 10 minutes until we're ready to start.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. Get Brittany's on the line. Council comments and stuff like that.
Karen, is there a limitation on the number of callers that can call in?
I would have to look at what that is.
There is a limit.
There's a high number, though.
There is a limit. I don't know what it is.
I'm just thinking if we had to stay at home and call in for meetings.
I think that would work fine for most meetings. I don't think it is, I mean.
Probably just reschedule a meeting.
Or just wash your hands.
Well, if we're talking about a couple of wash hands.
I mean, I bleached everything. I bleached all the door handles and light switches and the table today and all the tops of the chairs and the handles.
So we're busy contaminating them.
Yeah, so while you're like rubbing your face and wiping it all over the place, I'll come back tomorrow.
I just washed my hands, by the way.
Well, we'll wash contamination soon again.
Well, you're sneezing all over everything. I'll come back by with a bleach pump and
wipe our noses.
I guess I didn't forward you that Atlantic article. I will. There was an article in the Atlantic like 2 days ago. It was written by this a really respected epidemiologist, and he said it's there's two varieties of it that's going around. One that's really bad. One it doesn't affect people. You switch off saying you got it. If you get the test, it says you have it, and you don't even feel like you have it. And he was saying that basically it's going to turn into just another, instead of the cold and flu season, we're just going to have the cold, flu, and COVID-19 season. And it'll be, the vaccine will be stuck in the regular flu vaccines that everybody gets every year, but it's going to take them 2 years, 2.5 years to get there. Until then, wash your damn hands. Cover your cough. You know, just use the same. Because the coronavirus is a whole family of viruses, of which there's two coronaviruses that cause the common cold. There's one of them that causes the flu. So the treatment for one is the treatment for the other, and and the prevention measures are the same. Just, you know, don't sneeze on your
stay
body.
Home.
Stay home
and under
stay
your
home
bed.
When you're sick.
Stay under your bed.
Stay home when you're sick. Don't sneeze on people. You know, don't. And the people that are hitting the worst is what you'd expect for people for the flu, for instance. Older folks who have compromised immune systems or something that's already going on. Young kids, it's the same risk group for flu. So it's, I don't know. I hate to say it's much ado about nothing. It may be a bunch of ado about something, but.
It's big ado about something in Seattle.
Wash your damn hands. I don't know.
My son arrived home from California to greet his kids, and he just gets that hug, and his oldest daughter says, nope, coronavirus.
You're infected, Dad. Imagine being a dentist. Imagine being a dentist.
Oh, yeah.
You have to deal with infection control in your practice.
Yeah, exactly. We'll work at an airport.
Their autoclave is working 24 hours a day.
For the public comment agenda item, yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst part.
Does the other sample talk on agenda items during?
During the discussion. Okay, that's a good. Tom?
You know, it's hard that we talk about it, you know?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to talk to you.
Currently, fire department thing, right before approval and that. I was put by two point five. Right after the roll. Okay.
Before we start the discussion.
Yeah, just, yeah.
I give it a little time for everybody to filter in.
Are you?
Yeah, I feel like there's way more time than maybe this week, so. We're doing the. Whatever. Do whatever feels good.
Oh, Bonnie, you've been.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, here.
Did you find your piece of paper that I left for you?
Me?
Yeah, I have your thing printed out.
Oh, yeah, it's here. It's right there.
Okay, oh, thank you very much.
Just in case you needed it.
But I also have.
I do.
So, yeah, so I guess what I'll do is move to substitute this and you just have to put it on the screen or something.
No, you don't. That's what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. That's kind of you.
Talk about the two Title VIII options.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible to merge the two, but I like the clean copy of the, or I like the copy that they did.
Yeah, well, this one shows it as you have to when you. Cross out things that are, changed and underlined. So that's the way this is set up now.
We kind of have two different options. This is, it looks like our ordinance is based on our original, but, so the first page, this is from the, Green Folk, and so there's quite a lot of differences between their second page in addition to the, so they've consolidated some of these. I don't think we can merge the two.
This is the one they just approved this today.
And like, what I was saying.
So I just adopted what they said.
To keep our version, which is, I mean, things are real different, although the content is the same. Yeah, so just go ahead and adopt this one.
Yeah, this one that, yeah. Because this is stuff they said, and what I did is I just took all, I mean, they had a little wording changes and a couple of paragraphs they merged and things like that. I thought it was all, it didn't really change the intent or anything, and I thought it all sounded good, and if it's their recommendation, I just go with it.
That's what I think.
Okay, thanks.
That was starting the meeting.
Yeah, you were in the meeting, weren't you? Yeah, so I think, yeah, what you guys came up with was great. So, all I did was just, you know, plug it back in and format it so it hit the, you know, format requirements and the paragraphs were numbered right.
This ordinance isn't their version. This ordinance isn't their version. This ordinance is the original version before the change.
Yeah, so I guess what we're doing is we move to substitute changes in that for these changes. That's what I understand from Karen that we should do.
Maybe if we.
So these would essentially be the changes to the ordinance.
So, maybe if we reference the section number to make it clear, because this is the entire Title VIII.
Boys have not been.
The girls.
Those are amendments, probably.
Those are.
Yeah, these were the originals. This is.
Right. Yeah, these are amendments. Title 8 passed in July 2018.
They didn't do all of Title 8. They're going to continue to work on Title 8.
So I hope we can. I hope it works out.
These amendments are just for the stuff.
They think his dad in the yard. He's got rakes with his dad.
Both fireways were locked. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now they're like meat freaks.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, so I guess.
He was really sloppy. And then he married this girl. He went to New York. He became really mean. His shirt was color coded.
So when you fit in,
this guy was so organized.
Acknowledgement. Recognition of volunteer.
I was going to do it right after roll.
Yeah, when Travis put out that note, I called him up and said, are you sure that wasn't for Wednesday night? He said, no. And I said, I don't know what's anything on the agenda about this. Oh, well, whatever.
Oh, yeah, sure, it's a good idea.
Yeah, you might be older than I am, but
Well, my mayor's report goes under city council reports, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. Oh, it's right there. I'm going to
put
okay, it's 7:02 p.m. on Monday, March 9th, 2020. And I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Gustavus City Council to order. Madam, can I have a roll call, please?
Mayor Cassapet?
Here.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Here.
Councilmember Clark?
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Warner?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
There are 7 members present and a quorum is here.
Great. Before we get into the business, I just wanted to take a few minutes here to recognize the volunteers of our Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department. They've all been, there's a bunch of folks here. I want to make sure make sure I finish. I've been privileged to be available. I mean, they've helped me out with a broken ankle in January about a year ago, and in the middle of winter, and got me carted off and taken care of. I mean, I've had friends have cardiac arrest in their front yard and have them respond. You know, basically ahead of me going to his house. So I really appreciate all the work and all that volunteer effort that gets put in. I'm hoping that later on when we approve our budget here later on this year, we'll be able to kind of put in a small token of the city's appreciation for all that work that's basically being donated to this community sometimes not much recognition, but I do want to say at this time I really appreciate all the work, and I appreciate it personally just from my own perspective. And we put together a certificate, and I guess I give this to Travis. And,
have everybody come up.
Just have everybody come up. Travis, you too.
Get a picture. Get a picture. Yeah, yeah.
See, Johan just said that he missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Travis, can you hang this up somewhere?
Yep.
The fire hall thing? Would anybody else like to say some words? Or I kind of hogged up the show, but if anybody else wanted to say anything.
You did good.
Okay. Okay, we're on to approval of minutes from our February 10th, 2020 meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt, we approve the minutes of our February 10th, 2020 general meeting.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Warner, seconded by Member Taylor to approve by unanimous consent the general meeting minutes from February 10th, 2020.
I'm sorry. Pause for just a second. I didn't hear who seconded it or anything.
Mike.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. And there they are.
Okay. The minutes were previously have been distributed. They're actually on display up in front of us right now. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none. Okay, since there are no objections to passing the general meeting minutes from February 10th, 2020. If there's no objection to that, for unanimous consent to approve those minutes. Everybody's bowing their heads, so those are approved. I didn't have any requests for agenda changes. So if I have unanimous consent with the rest of the council, we'll set the agenda. Looks like everyone's nodding, so the agenda is set. We're going to have some committee staff reports first. First from our Madam Clerk, Karen.
That was supposed to happen in Seattle, specific to government social media. And that was supposed to happen on the 23rd, and it was just canceled yesterday. So they're going to, instead of doing an in-person conference, they're going to have a virtual version of it. So we'll still be doing something, but remotely. So that'll be good. And I won't be going to the International Institute of Municipal Clerks Conference this year or the Northwest Clerk Institute this year. Maybe I'll go to one of them next year, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The other thing that I've been doing this last quarter is working with the Marine Facilities Committee. I'm helping them with their business meetings. And we haven't had committees with the city for a while, and I found an old toolkit from way back when that I updated, and hopefully that will be helpful. We didn't have any people volunteer to do a roads committee, so I won't create one for them and
until that time that we maybe have another committee, then I'll do one specific to that committee. And then the last thing, which I'm very excited about, is I finally finished the four-door lateral back there, which was the last one of the files in the office. And
small victory.
It was like living hell going through that. But now, as you can see, it's like beautifully organized, and we have all like 100 years worth of files, all different colors, and so I was able to make it really pretty. And that's all I have to report. And I'm supposed to keep track of attendance for the council meetings, and so that's the latest. You guys are really good about just about every single meeting. That's all I have to report. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Okay, thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I have a question.
Oh, where?
Brittany.
Hi. Is there a reason that you're not attending those two conferences?
Yeah, I think I've worked really hard attending every conference that I could for my first couple of years, trying to learn as much as possible, and that attending all those conferences helped contribute points to my certification, which I now have. And so I thought I could just, you know, take a back seat and attend less conferences. I did go to all those conferences on grants, but now that I have my certification, I don't think that I'll probably be at the bottom of the list for grant eligibility from now on. So they would cost the city money.
Okay, cool. Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks. All right, for financials, I think they're just here for us to take a look at, ask questions. I suppose Tom can cover it. Any questions on the financials? But just a reminder that we'll have to initial them here before we leave tonight. So any questions on financials? Okay. Hey, Tom, you're next, I guess.
Well, good evening. We were able to whittle down three pages to just three bullets. These are all informational. So Councilmember Taylor and I went out to the beach, spaced and counted where we would need logs, how many. We're working on getting that process complete. We have our budget town hall this Wednesday starting at 5:30. We'll have the current drafting budget, and we'll also have an alternative baseline budget that Councilmember Warner is going to present. And finally, just an update on the Alaska Municipal League and Marine Highway efforts. I received a call from Gold Belt today. They had a contract with DOT to provide ferry service. I got a copy of the contract, and one of the routes on the contract is the Pelican Gustavus Juno route. Yeah, I was surprised as well. So we are asking DOT why that hasn't been executed. And as soon as I find out something, I'll let you know. As you're aware, the city is having our state dock worked on, and so it's closed. So I reached out to the park today to see if it would be feasible to use the dock out of the park for the ferry landings. Spoke to Jay Colson, and looks like if we can get through all the normal processes, that it's possible that the Gold Belt ferries could dock at the park, and then we could do the passenger loading trips to Juneau. This is all relatively new. Again, I found out about it today. It's in development. I'll keep you updated as soon as I get information from Gold Belt and the DOT.
Mr. Mayor. That wouldn't include vehicles, right? Just passengers. Just passengers. Yeah. Okay.
And you gotta carry all your freight too. You gotta carry yourself.
Yeah. There's no freight car.
No.
And it's also only for the month. The contract's only for the month of March. So we don't know if that's going to get extended or not. But the contract is let in February.
Shelley, you had a question?
Same question.
Oh, okay.
Anything else? All right, thank you.
Brittany, did you have any questions for Tom?
Nope, I'm good, thanks.
Okay, cool, thanks. Hey, now's the time for a public comment on non-agenda items. Does anybody have a comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none. On here is our consent agenda. There's several things on the consent agenda. I'm going to go over the list here real quick. We have a certificate of records destructions. There's the information on what's on that. There's also this, the next one is FY20-13 NCO. This is providing for the amendment of our department budgets for FY20. We talked about Phoebe was here and walked us through this during our work session last week. This is basically moving some money around to cover for road maintenance is the major thing, but then also moving some money around in accounts. Next one, CY20. Oh, these are all introductions, by the way. I'm sorry. CY20-09, remote seller intergovernmental agreement. These all kind of go together, so I'm just going to read them all together here. CY20-10, introduction of remote sellers ordinances. FY20-16, introduction of Title 11, providing for the creation and adoption of Title 11 sales made by remote sellers. And FY20-15, introduction of Title 10, providing for the amendments to city ordinances, Title 10, sections 10.07.030, special uses of city lands. C, D, and E are all related to one another. Those all have to do with our remote sellers agreement and the changes in our ordinances and necessary paperwork we have to do to sign on to the AML's Online Sales Tax Commission. As many of you know, we're already getting voluntarily, we're getting checks from Amazon for online sales tax, but none of the other online sales people are doing that. This AML effort, led by AML, that we're signing on to, will capture all those other sources of online sales. So this is what all that's about. That third one, F, or the last one, F, is basically a change to our special use title, providing for a five-year special use permit for the city's community gardens rather than the current one year. Okay.
There you go.
So that's the last one, F. So that's a mouthful. That's all that's in there. Like I said, this is all being introduced for public hearing next meeting.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. A couple of them are resolutions that will be passed.
Some of them are resolutions. Okay, yeah.
The ordinance ones.
The C and D are resolutions, right.
And these are all in the packets up there. I was going too fast and want to learn more about it.
We've been working on this online sales tax for over a year now with AML, so we've had our attorneys go through it all and that kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Tom, I did an outstanding job of preparing a three-page briefing on the online sales tax in Gustavus I don't know if it was your intention to release that to the public, but I thought it was particularly well done and that it was very informative and easy to understand.
Oh, good.
We might consider...
Yeah, thank you. I was going to provide it for the public hearing. I thought the timing would be better, but I can make it available.
Whenever. I just thought it was really well done. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, we still need a... I just got done describing everything, so I will need a motion for the consent agenda.
I think you need to ask if anybody wants
to... Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So I've listed all those things on the consent agenda. So do any... members of the public wish to have any one of those items removed from the consent agenda for further discussion? No. Okay. Does any council member wish to remove any of these items from the consent agenda for a fuller discussion? Okay. No. Okay. Now it's time for a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Taylor, seconded by Member Owens to approve the consent agenda by unanimous consent. If that's okay with everybody, it's approved. Okay, thank you. Okay. We have no ordinances for public hearing this time. Our next item up is unfinished business. Item A, it is our FY20-12. We're introducing Title 8, providing for the revisions to city ordinance of Title 8, which is basically our marine facilities.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the introduction of FY20-12, Title 8. Providing for the revisions to city ordinance
topic. I second that.
Been moved by Council Member Vander Zanen and seconded by Member Member Clark to approve for introduction FY20-12 Title 8 providing for the revision to city ordinance Title 8. See, does, for folks who are, new and we've been working on this for, a couple months now, trying to, bring it, bring into, kind of a, we've changed what we're going to call it, but, basically kind of like the rules and, kind of rules of behavior on the dock is basically, I guess, is how best to summarize it. That's a major focus of these revisions. So I guess at this point, I'm going to invite public comment. Is there anybody who wishes to any public comment on this? Matt, would this be the part? This is where I'd invite the Marine Facilities Committee to
do it now, or maybe.
Or wait until we have. Okay. Well, we're going to have a substitute amendment.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Okay.
So we'll reserve the public
comment
to be recalled.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike. I know you have a substitute amendment.
Yes, we. The Marine Facilities Committee did some great work in coming up with some really good ideas. The original version that we had listed in the packet was one that was postponed from our last general meeting, as I recall, two meetings ago. Yeah, that's right. And we postponed it because there were some things that we thought we needed to rework. And Shelley and I have both spent quite a bit of time on this and submitted a rewrite of it, which really just reorganized it and changed some wording that was in a contractual language to a more regulatory language to fit the appropriate language for an ordinance. And then we went through this in a work session also. And we've asked the Marine Facilities Committee to go through our sort of reorganization of it and see what they thought. They did so today, and you know, I'm delighted to have them confirm, but they submitted some recommended wording changes to us, to improve the language in their view, and at their meeting today, and they recommended that the council consider those things. I looked them over and thought they were all great, and just re-edited the item to incorporate their rewordings, which were only a few. So I have a new version of it to recommend as a, or to ask you to adopt, or to ask you to post as our version for public hearing, which will occur at the next month. And so I move to substitute the document, which now appears on the screen and includes the input and, as I understand it, the approval of the Marine Facilities Committee for our amendments to Ordinance Section 8.01.030 and those that follow in the listing there. Is that too complicated? So maybe it'd be good to get some more input now from the Marine Facilities.
I need a second.
Yeah,
I need a second.
Thank you.
The motion is before us at the on the screen. It was seconded by Member Randazan, and I reserved the public comment for now. So can we? Is it okay for the council if I go to public comment and allow the I think the Marine Facilities Committee should maybe go first.
Maybe if they choose to.
Thanks for having us here. We've been going over this round and round, and I guess we got the updated amendment that Mike and Shelley were working on, and after going around and around, Karen decided we should lock on or paste on what we're looking to do to the language that they actually like most of what most of the language that you guys have we liked. So I don't know if you have questions for why we made the changes. I guess that would be the first thing. Or
those are, you're referring to the changes that came in Karen's email? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Because we did make some specific changes in the language that was on, mainly dealing with conduct on the dock, and then also probably the big thing was dealing with fish waste, disposal of fish waste, sea lions, et cetera. And so I guess I'd have to ask if you guys have any questions about why we came up with the changes beyond what you guys had put together.
Yeah, I would like to hear on both of those. To me, it appeared that the intent that we all had was being well addressed by you, but maybe you'd like to expand on that.
Sure. I there's a few sections where there just seem to be redundancies or where things could be put together to simplify it, but I think the big sticking point between what had been proposed so far and what we were seeing was mainly to do with the conduct on the dock, so which we've got listed here as, I think, B in the 8.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0.0. seemed like the initial language was a little bit biased in its treatment of, in particular, the charter boats involved. And even though that's what I do as a business, I think she's calling out a bigger issue with it than even I did. So why don't you tell them what you think?
Well, I'll read you just the full paragraph. It just said, in reviewing that section, we found redundancies in the text, which I think we all agreed. Those were no big deal. But we also observed that the vocabulary in this section was heavily directed toward the charter commercial users, and I think most of us felt that way. So we felt that it was important to address that because all users should bear the burden of the cooperative conduct down at the float or in any of the float systems. And so to direct it toward the commercial users, who we acknowledge are the by far proportionately the biggest users in the summertime, but everybody needs to be accountable. That's why we sort of changed to a more general wording, because if it's ordinance, the ordinance shouldn't have any bias in it, one way or the other. So that's...
Yeah, and then another area that we were concerned about was it was written in a way that the responsibility of the behavior of people who could be, whether it was off of a commercial boat, private boat, et cetera, at the point in time that they got off of said vessel, the way it was written is that person, the owner of that vessel, or the captain of that vessel, however that may work out, was still going to be responsible for their behavior after they're no longer on the boat. But, and at the point in time they get off of the vessel, regardless if it's commercial or private, that's public property, and I don't think that responsibility can carry over legally. As the owner of a boat, if I had people on my boat misbehaving, I would feel obligated to make sure they didn't do that. But I don't see how that's going to work, that responsibility carries over on private property or public property. So we changed that to get that out so it was a general responsibility, not directed once they get off the boat. So we removed that from the learn section B. Yeah.
Okay. So, one of the issues that we spent a great deal of time on was wordage in this that was about loading and unloading of gear, of passengers, and it was felt that was, again, more directed to commercial users and not really allowing for a couple things. One, for allowing just a boater to tie up and take care of whatever they needed to take care of. But also the huge issue of overnight use. I almost hate to even mention it because it was strongly felt that there needed to be some area of the dock that was not designated exactly as overnight use, but as transient use, short-term transient use. Almost every facility has some kind of short-term transient use. And that transient use is dependent on the owner, operator, calling the harbor master usually, and saying, this is, you know, my boat, and I'm going to be tied here for, you know, a short amount of time. That may include overnight. And so our broad idea, am I expressing that okay?
Pretty good. I can feel something burning.
I agree. I mean, one of the things that we felt is one of the challenges down there is that there be space for everyone, for all users. And so in order to do that, we will we'll obviously spend more time doing this, but one of the ideas that we have spent a lot of time on is the zoning of the float. Now, we can't really do that until we really actually see the physical float and how it's going to sit there. But the idea of being, of having, you know, the sweet spot be active load and unload, and then there'd be, you know, maybe a two-hour area, and then maybe a small transient, short-term transient area, which would allow people to come out of the river with their boat, with the intention of being able to get out of the river on the high tide and tie up to the float and leave in the morning and go fishing, which I think a lot of us, you know, do. Now, will there be room? We don't know. But that was kind of the idea of changing that no overnight use to, you know, transit use with the permission of the harbor master.
Yeah, I think her. We didn't really have to. We just kind of.
We took the 30-minute storage of garbage out of there.
Just left it in storage.
Just don't store anything on the dock. You know. And if you unload your boat and you're schlepping it back and forth, that's pretty obvious what you're doing. If you leave, that's also pretty obvious that you left it there. So, and I know garbage is a problem down there. So,
I think the only other thing as far as the dealing with fish carcasses and coincidentally the sea lions, we just basically took what was there and just simplified it, really. I think we're pretty much in accord with what we want done there. I don't want more to say, which is unusual. Any other questions on that?
Council questions? Go ahead, Susan.
So just so that I understand, the email we got 5 hours ago from Karen is their wording.
Yes.
Yes? That you guys have now sort of come to agreement about. Yes?
I think so.
Okay.
I didn't get the last email from Karen.
And then you, that was, reworked that.
Oh, you reworked that again?
No. What you got is
what we're proposing.
All I did was edit their things in and, you know, make the changes that they recommended.
So she has the appended version.
Yeah.
I
believe that what we have here is what they approve and what they ask us to do. What they recommend.
What we have here. Not in the packet,
on the screen.
This version. From 5 hours ago.
It's a Word document, Susan. It wasn't in the
packet. It's the two-page guy that you emailed us. It's like, okay. All right. Got it.
I'd comment that I'm really pleased that you identified those issues with the conduct thing. And as I was sitting here, I realized where that came from. That was actually a piece that was in the original version that was going to be a contract with charter operators, is why it had that particular wording to it. And we didn't catch that when we went through it, that was something that we should have made more general. And your recommendations have done that. So I think that's I'm really pleased that you caught that.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Shelley.
Just very well done. You consolidated a lot of things and cleaned it up. And
likewise.
Yeah, and I just throw my thanks in there, too, to you all for spending time doing this. This is a gnarly one and has needed attention, so thank you for your time.
I'm sure there's many fire than one.
Any other public comment on this? Just, yeah. Okay, no further public comment. Okay, now it's back to the table for our deliberation discussion. Any other further discussion or deliberation needed? Go ahead.
I'm going to try really hard not to be snarky about this. So, no, I'll give it a go. But when it comes to imposing new law I want to be really careful and considered about doing it. And I'm having trouble knowing what I'm being asked to vote on. So, because what we got in the packet was these four pages, move this, no, put it in 801, and here's some new language. And then these two say, no, don't move that section, move it back to where it was in, you know, 804.010 conduct, and then add this new language here, and there's an occasional other new language somewhere. So I would be willing to publish this to the public, but not in that form. This is what an ordinance looks like. No underlines, no strike-throughs, none of this business. It's a legal format document.
Point of, I have a point of order from Karen.
I would like to make a motion. To amend.
Karen?
To amend.
Okay.
I would move to introduce the March 9th version of amendments to Title 8, provided that we agree to revise the document into conformance with the state's ordinance format before distributing it out to the public or posting it on the website. The motion.
Okay.
I second it.
That happen anyway.
This is for publication, so we have to let the public know what we're changing. So just for publication, we have to put it in strikeout and highlight strike, underline strikeout, whatever we're doing. You have to do that when you publish it so that people know what we're changing. So to put up something that doesn't have anything, no indication to the public of what we're changing, I don't think that serves the public. And as far as putting in the format again, we've gone over this in work session, but that's done by MuniCode. We pay them good money to do that.
Mayor?
Go ahead.
Yes, I also would echo the point that this is done in the format that we must do it under to make a change to our ordinance. And this, our required method is to show strikeouts of things that are removed from the existing ordinance and underline new text that has been added. And that's exactly what this does. And this version is the entire, regardless of all the other pages you may have, this version is the entire change.
This, can I see it? I haven't seen it yet.
It's the same one that
that's
you got
what
the email on. I think you probably got it there in your, if you, it came to you this afternoon in the email.
Mike, you're saying that is the required way to do it?
Point of order.
Oh.
To go through the chair.
Go ahead.
Okay. You're saying that is the required way of presenting it to the public?
Yes.
It
so,
has to be done that way.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Mike.
Essentially, yes, that's the standard way, so it's clear to the public what we are changing, what the changes are. So if the changes weren't clear in there, I mean, if everything was just as the new ordinance would be, then the public wouldn't be highlighted. There'd be no indication of how it had changed.
My only concern is that having the strikeouts and the underlines is just makes it more confusing for the public. So, I'm sorry, that's a requirement. That's what I'm saying.
It's a standard way we always
go ahead.
So, it was in the draft that's in our packet that we moved the A through E to 8.01.030. So why do we have to do this with the strikeouts to let it go back to where it was in 0804010 in the 19-page Title 8 document? It's already in 804010. Why do we have to do this?
Point of order, you made a motion and you need to keep your comments germane to your motion.
I'm trying to address the issues of my motion, but did I get a second? Yeah.
Yeah, you did get a second.
Okay.
There was a bunch of ground plowed there, and I... The issue of the strikeouts and underlines, I don't think we're going to change that. That's the way we're supposed to do it. The public has to know what we're changing, and they have to know what we're adding, they have to know what we're deleting. I don't know how other way we're going to do it. The other thing that may be causing problems for Member Warner is that what we introduced back in December or January and what we have postponed for two business meetings in a row now is what was what was on the table back in January or December, January. So we have, what Member Taylor has presented in his amendment has to go back to that original thing that was introduced in January. So his changes, that's why you're getting, that's why the issue of A, B, and C and what section and all is causing some confusion. The point is that we have to go back to that original thing we originally put by Robert's rules. We have to go back to the original January thing we introduced, not the iterations along the way.
It was never introduced, it was postponed.
And what we're simply trying to do now is get this thing introduced. We're still trying to get it introduced.
Go ahead. Question of the clerk. Susan has raised a possible point here that may be, if this section in the first part with the A through E that are crossed out, is that as it appears actually in the Title 8 now, or was that something from an earlier version of this? And if so, then it actually shouldn't appear.
It's the actual Title 8 law.
Okay.
That page.
See. So
the 19 page. I don't believe the wording has changed at all in the
section. 0 through 0.
Well, no, there are A through E in here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So.
Already in that spot. So.
8 point. Let's see. Where's 030?
Above it, because that's over.
Okay. Oh, this is 8.01.030, which I don't have here. So what I'm asking is that if that's not the way that it shows in the existing Title 8, then that wouldn't need to be posted. Those things that are crossed out wouldn't need to be in the posting. And you'd only have to have the addition, which says the City of Gustavus may require signed agreement to meet applicable regulatory requirements as a condition to leasing use permits to its harbor facilities. That is, if those A through E don't appear, then that would, but I think I was under the impression they were there, that that was something that was getting, that we are picking up in the conduct section.
If it hasn't, if it's bolded and underlined, it's an addition to the existing title. If it has a strike through, it's a deletion from the existing title.
Okay, that's the confirmation that I needed to have to make sure that I hadn't made a mistake there.
Okay.
Thank you. So that resolves it. This is the original language in 8.01.030, the clerk confirms.
Well, I just printed this off of our website. Mr. Mayor, may I respond?
Uh-huh.
I just printed this today off our website of the original Title 8 passed in July of 2013, which is the A through E in Rules of Conduct, Section 804.010 in the original Title 8 document, which is so... The strikeouts on here, to move it from
01030, it isn't in 01030 in the original document. It's in one of our previous drafts that we moved it, and then in this proof of amendments, we're moving it back, right, to where it already is. See what I'm saying? So it's I'm just trying to get it clarified what we're actually proposing, what it actually looks like on the page. So,
come on.
So what we have tonight is three different versions because of amendments that have taken place since December in three different periods. How this could work practically is if we are saying we want the changes as presented by the Marine Facilities Committee, staff will have to then incorporate that in the proper style for presentation at the public hearing. So we will take that chaos that is on the table tonight, put it in the proper format, move the sections back and forth wherever they belong, as you pointed out, and I think you're correct in your recognition of where things were cut and moved back and forth, so that prior to publishing this for public hearing, it will make sense. It will be in the proper format, and it won't have the confusion. It will be in the strikeout for deletions and the bold underline for additions, and we'll have to go back and put the pieces of the puzzle back together because it just, we got that change, of course, well after the packet was published, and the previous change didn't reflect the original postponed change. So it was very confusing for staff to try to put that together. But if the council agrees, we could adopt the amendment. Staff will put it in the proper format and then get that back out probably sometime this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's
okay with me.
Well, I want to make sure we're in the right spot as far as process goes, Madam Clerk. What we have is a substitute amendment on the table. No. What did Mike do?
So we're back to your motion, and if you understand everything, you can, with the consent of the council, you can withdraw your motion.
Okay.
Or we can put it up to a vote.
I could go ahead and withdraw my motion. It sounds as if, with the consent, it sounds as if we've worked our way to a way to address it for now.
Okay. So then we're back to Mike's motion.
Mike's amended amended version.
Okay.
And are we ready to vote on Mike's amended version? Okay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Mayor Cassatt.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
All right, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, now we're to a main motion to publish these changes, correct?
Yes, as amended.
As amended. Are we ready to vote on that?
Okay.
Okay.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Cassatt?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. All right, we're on to new business. 10A. This is a review of Gustavus Visitors Association marketing plan and budget request. This is basically where we, as a council, we have the opportunity to review their request, their plan and request. I think they have submitted some updated documents. I hope you all have had a chance to go over those. They are different than what was originally submitted in February. So. So do, do um, let, do you want to go ahead and just briefly kind of get us started if you...
Sure. So I'll just... I've got 3 points. One, a little bit of a catch-up as to how we are at the moment, and then I'll go into the marketing plan and I'll go into budgeting. So a little bit of a catch-up into what's been going on. So as you know, I recently took on the position of president of the GVA, and that would have been in January. And prior to that, the person who was acting as president was going under some medical things, and it was apparent that they wouldn't be able to continue the position. So I sort of took up the reins, and at that time, the transfer of information was not as smooth as it could have been. So I basically hit the ground running and joined in, and then a week later, I was here at the meeting, and that was when I was here with you last, and I needed to present to you a proposed budget, and some documents. And at that time, I was unaware that I also needed to give to you to deliver a marketing plan. I was actually only after the meeting, the day before the last time I came to you, that I was told that I needed to be given a marketing plan. So the first one, I realized I was informed that I needed to give you a budget proposal and also a submitting a document saying what we did with the money and what we're going to do with the next amount of money we're going to get. And then after the fact, I was informed, well, you didn't deliver a marketing plan. Mr. Mayor Caspit did mention at that first meeting, I'd like to talk about the marketing plan. And I said, that's great, but I didn't realize that I had supposed to have submitted it at that time. Then I was given a 24-hour period to submit a marketing plan. So the marketing plan that you have right now in your package is a working document because I basically put it together over a 24-hour period. So, you know, and now I'll talk a little bit about the budget side of things as well. At the initial meeting, I needed to submit a proposed budget. So looking at the previous numbers, it was logical to resubmit the same request that we had asked for before. But then since that time, you know, basically within a week, 2 weeks, I've been able to look at, well, also since that time, we then hired, you know, in the same time frame between January and now, we hired a marketing coordinator and an accountant person. So our accountant person was then able to go through the book, this has been in the last sort of 3 weeks, and say, well, you know, these things are not needed. We have this still in our budget from last year. So we can actually resubmit a lower budget and still achieve all the things that we want to achieve. I said, great. Let's resubmit a lower budget. You know, there's no point in asking for more money if we can do the job for less. So we've revised the budget. We have a marketing coordinator that we're working with who is in process of putting together a marketing plan, a complete marketing plan. And I can say to you that the document that you have in front is a work in progress, but I can give to you a complete marketing plan within the next 2 weeks. So I just need a little bit more time than 24 hours to put that document together concisely. So I'm going to back up a little bit. What I've realized as well in taking on this position as the Gustavus Fischer Association, there's several forms of leadership. You know, some people come in and say all the things they're going to change. But my form of leadership is to listen to what needs to get changed. And since taking on this position, I've been listening to all sorts of things that existing members want, that you need, that the community wants, and the things that people want to see happening. And that's moving forward, from here moving forward,
these are the things which I'm going to implement and make happen. So what I want to do is basically reassure you in that in a position of listening to the needs and meeting those needs. So with that, there's going to be a few amendments and changes within the association. Quite a few. So for example, just to give you a little bit of a, you know, I've been listening to some people saying, well, you know, Gustavus is this, you know, our title is the gateway to Glacier Bay National Park, and that completely bypasses Gustavus. It sounds like a corridor for national park people to go get their badge and their stamp. And, you know, well, what about the town? So, you know, I'm very much community-based and Gustavus-based, so, you know, maybe we need to completely change the title. And then there's the whole visitor association, the wording of visitor association. And that's really, it all talks about visitors. Well, what about the community people? What about the businesses? You know, there's a whole understanding of what visitor association that needs to be addressed and looked at and progressively moving forwards from. So that's just a little bit about the changes. So and as I'm hitting the ground running and I'm taking all this information in that I'm working with it, so everything here is a work in progress. With that, I'm going to present, I'm going to talk a little bit about the marketing plan, and then we'll talk about the money side. So, oh, actually, you've got the money side up, so I suppose you want to talk, let's talk about the money side then. Okay. So as far as, you know, what's gone on, I'm going to use the word transparency here because I feel this is a very important thing that's been not happening with the Gustavus Sister Association in the past. It's been a bit of a lack of understanding of what's been going on with the funds, what have we been spending our money on, and what are we going to spend our money on between, you know, here and moving forward. So going down the line of this, so administration, we had budgeted $3,490, and we overspent in administration $6,000. So our anticipated $300 in expenditure for fiscal year will close out. So let me see if I can kind of make this more concise. Previously, we overspent there in the administration side of things, but we've changed it. So right now, as far as that administration, what have we changed moving forward when I looked at this? We cut out our cell phone. We've cut out our telephone conferences because those two things were costing a ridiculous amount of money that didn't need to be spent on. So we took them out. So that overspending is going to be gone for the next fiscal year. So we've adjusted that. Going down to contract work, administration, now the position was, administrating and marketing position was combined previously, and the administrator budgeted $7,300 and only spent just less than $2,000. So our anticipated is we've cut that. I don't think the administrator needs that much money, so we've cut that down as well. So, and then the marketing coordinator, I'm not sure how our marketing situation is going to be at present. We have a marketing coordinator that's able to do a local hire, that's able to do a lot of the marketing networking, working with the B&Bs, working with the advertising, working with the Alaska Visitor Associations. So there's a lot that they can do within a scope, but I might need to recruit some specialist, advice or recommendations from a marketing professional. And I don't know what that price is going to be at the moment. So I'm reluctant to reduce that line item, not knowing what that expenditure is going to be at present. print media, memberships. So we, you can see our memberships there. We regional organisations. Let's see, we're open. Oh, webmaster. Let me back up to webmaster. I'm going to leave that line item as well because we're making big changes in our website at the moment. A huge part of outreach, of networking, is website generated. And there's aspects of the website that I'm not sure if we don't know how to do, so we need to have that professional assistance as well. Let's see, memberships. So anticipated. Budgeted 1,400, spent 900, anticipated additional 600 expenditure fiscal year. I'm kind of scanning through to see if there's anything in here that's jumping out that travel shows are on track. That's a 1,055 full budget item. Okay. So if we have... You know, what we've done, let's go to the next page and see if there's anything in that next page as well, or the second page as well. So we're anticipating that we're hoping that we're going to get some more members this year. So we're hoping that our members will derive a higher income, an increase from our membership drive. And so our projected administration is going to be lower than it has been in the past. Contract work, there the administration is lower. Marketing coordinator is the same. Webmaster is the same. Memberships and regional. So that's gone up a little bit because their prices went up. So our memberships with the Alaska travel industry, you know, their memberships went up. The cost of putting ads in Milepost and the Alaska magazine and the basically advertising has gone up, so that's why that's gone up. That line item went up a little bit, and travel shows is an increase again. But the bottom line is the large ticket items we've cut down as much as we can. We had money that we were given last year that we didn't spend. That we're now going to utilize. Now that we have a plan, a projection, a goal, we're going to utilize those monies. If we find that, you know, as we're going through things, that we don't need as much money and we can release those funds for you to utilize in other directions, then of course we're going to come back to you and say, we think that we don't need this much money. You know, you should maybe put this back into your funds to utilize it for something which is more important. If we find that we need to slightly increase what we're asking for because we see maybe something in marketing that is going to give us an, you know, if something costs a little bit more than we were thinking but is going to have a huge return, then maybe it would be worth investing into that. So we may ask you for that at that time. So these numbers might be a little bit of a work in progress, but right now we're thinking that we can ask for less than we originally asked. Any questions with that?
Do you envision you're reaching out for some professional marketing advice inclusive in that $13,000 for the marketing coordinator, or is that a separate?
Nope, inclusive.
Inclusive. Okay, thank you.
So that's the yes, go ahead.
Did you have more, or?
Yes, I haven't talked about marketing.
Okay.
The marketing plan, but we ran out of time.
I'm trying to get this moving along. Is there any before we move on to marketing, is there any questions about the budget before we move on? Because that's the main part of what I wanted to get
okay.
through. But, if you want to just briefly go over your plans for marketing, and then we'll have some questions maybe for that, and then.
So in brief with the marketing plan, what you have in front of you is a work in progress. What we're planning on doing is our marketing plan that we are working on that I can have complete within 2 weeks and have on your table. We'll have, it'll be specific to our community, asking for both community members. It'll be measurable with the goals that are attainable as desired. It'll be within our scope of ability with our resources. It'll be relevant to our objectives. It'll be timed. So we're looking at putting a strategic plan together. Working on within a 3-year strategic plan. It's going to have short-term goals with objectives. We're looking at making some significant changes, making things, I'm listening to what the businesses in town would like to see happening, with what the members of the public and the council would like to see happening. We're going to speak to the businesses themselves and see what their interests are and collectively work together to enhance this Davis as a community. So that's the basic. I took the 3 pages and put it into one sentence there. Because I realize I'm on a time crunch. So maybe ask me some questions.
Questions on marketing side of it?
Okay.
Okay.
That's it? If you notice, we don't ask any questions.
Well, I...
Okay.
I'm not done yet, so
okay.
I do want to compliment you on including members of the community and members at large in your strategic planning and marketing exercises. I think that's a good stroke, good step moving forward. Staff may have some ideas too about what may or may not work or what might be suggested. Folks here might be interested in helping in those efforts too. So I just, I hope you don't feel like you're being singled out or that you're in this alone.
Absolutely
but,
not.
There's folks around the table that'll help. So anyway.
Please come to me. I welcome you. Everybody comes from a different perspective, a different interest, and I hope that you all. Come and speak to me. Tell me what your views are, what your objectives are, what your hopes are. We'll make it happen.
Thanks.
Lee, I think you're really moving forward with the right attitude, and it's encouraging.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Next will be the Brookery. I should say, Gustavus Children's Enhancement Program.
Sorry. Well, I didn't have anybody here for that. But.
Was there any, it's basically reviewing their plan and report request. I thought it was really well written and laid out a good case for what they're asking for, and I didn't have any questions for them at this point. Anybody else? Next on the agenda, DNR Beach Carpenter Resource Management Agreement Revision Negotiation. I believe, Member Taylor, you have something.
Yes, and thank you for the opportunity. A month ago, we adopted a resolution that set forth our work that was to be done to implement the CRMA for the beach and get our parking set up and so forth. And to save some complications at the time, we removed one section from the resolution that dealt with our hopes to make some changes and improvements to the CRMA management plan particularly, but a few to the CRMA. So what I am doing here is bringing forth that item again and reflecting some minor revisions that we've made to it based on our work session and so forth. So my motion is a paragraph, and I don't, maybe the clerk can put it up on the screen too. So I move that the council authorizes a team comprising Shelley Owens, Tom Williams, and Mike Taylor to open negotiations with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to update the Beach Tracks Cooperative Resource Management Agreement, CRMA, in order to correct technical deficiencies, clarify boundaries and covered areas, strengthen beach lands protection, reflect public input from the initial CRMA implementation, and provide clearly for city authority to enforce beach park regulations. The team shall communicate with a representative of the DeBoer family to assure that changes do not conflict with the quieting title covenants held by the family over the beach tracks, and that mutual goals for both parties for beach protection are assured. The team is to use the draft CRMA changes document as reviewed in and edited from a special work session on January 28, 2020, and revised on March 3, 2020, to reflect those changes, as a starting point and guide reflecting current council policy. The team shall develop a new management plan map attachment reflecting the text updates to the CRMA. The team shall file progress reports at least biweekly to the council as negotiations proceed, and shall recommend to the council when recommend action to the council when the team believes the negotiations have resulted in a potential agreement with DNR that reflects council policies and the best interests of the community and adjacent landowners. So that's my motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay. It's a move by Mike, Member Taylor. I second it. It's a rather long paragraph, so I'm not going to repeat it again. I'm going to allow, basically, well, right now is time for public comment. So is there any public comment on the amendment?
And I'm not sure if my comment is, because you may have to clarify for me. One of the things we were concerned is that if you do look at implementing the CRMA, that you will perhaps, the mayor has a friend coming up from Sitka to help us perhaps with the plan for the whole area, because before we start putting in picnic tables and boardwalks and planning out pads, if we had an overall plan so that we're not just piecemealing and doing something in an area and then thinking, oh, we should have addressed this at the same time. So we were just concerned that there be sort of a cohesive plan for that whole area as we develop it.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on there. I mean, guy, I know in Sitka, that's something down the road to get a master plan or whatever done there. This is what we're doing here is trying to correct the. Do you want to summarize it? But basically, it's correcting the legal description of the B1, B2 thing, the accreted lands thing. You can kind of see some of the amendments that they would work on. But go ahead.
I would say that kind of plan would be done regardless of whether we change the CRMA, whether we update the CRMA. It's something that we have in mind doing, and we can do it under the other both versions, the existing CRMA as well as with the changes to things like boundaries and so forth.
Any other public comment? to the table for discussion. And, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if this can also be called an amendment to the original CRMA.
Mr. Mayor, yes, it could certainly be termed an amendment because most of the CRMA is untouched. Yeah, so it amends some portions of it with some additions and, or clarifications. It changes the, our proposal changes or corrects the land designations to specify the correct track designation as B2 instead of B and things like that. So, yes, it is an amendment or an update. Essentially, there are provisions for making changes and developing a new amended version with DNR, and that's what we would go through.
This in itself isn't the amendment because we have the approval of the development in the state. So this is our proposal of going forth to try to amend the beach plan portion of the CRMA.
Mayor, that's an excellent clarification that we're just asking authorization to begin to negotiate and to use the points that we've laid out in our work sessions as the guidance that the team would use in negotiating. The final thing would have to, it might come back different. There might be differences. They might have some suggestions that they would offer. Or maybe something we want to do they find is not doable or they don't agree with. And we would have to negotiate those things, and then we would bring back that final product as a recommendation to the council to consider whether to sign an amended CRMA with those changes after they have agreed to them.
You think it's important to only have council and De Beers in that negotiation without having a member of the public, of the particularly of the any of the beach advocacy group on that team? Is that important to not include the public?
Well, I think that's a good suggestion.
Well, I don't know if there's.
Well, we have a motion on the table that specifies the groups.
Right.
If we're going to change that, we would need an amendment and a
Mr. Mayor, I think we could agree that we certainly would be involving, you know, representatives of the beach advocates in that, you know, they'd certainly be welcome.
I didn't hear that included, sorry.
It wasn't in the text of my motion, but it's easy to do without any amendment to it. Certainly would be advisable.
Again, this is the team that would be negotiating with the DNR, so on our behalf.
Mr. Mayor, there's one thing that I think is important to point out. It's in the version that we've got, and you know, as you look at it on the screen, you're probably not going to find it exactly in there. But that deals with the parking on the west side. And the document that we're using now says that, makes no changes from the original CRMA, which said that there would be no motor traffic on the west side. An earlier version that I had done had said that the city could consider that. In other words, there was some flexibility. This version does not have that, and in not having it, I believe it probably represents best the input that we have had, not to change that. But I know that's an area of concern for some members of the community. There's some people that are unhappy that we haven't provided for a little bit of parking over there. I think at least a couple members of our council have. I've been concerned about that. So I just wanted to highlight that as an issue and note that that's what this document would would be the guidance that the negotiating committee would be following. Certainly, at least initially.
Go ahead one more time. So the guidance that you will follow is the original, that there will be no parking, or?
That's the document that is attached to the motion, that makes no, it took out the changes that we made before that provided some flexibility there. So there's no change to that from the original in the guidance that we are saying that we would be following. Policy.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Are we ready for a vote? Brittany, do you have any other questions or any other clarifications needed?
No.
Okay. Ready? All right. We're ready.
Councilmember Van der Zanden? Councilmember Warner?
No.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
No.
Mayor Kasovic?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-2.
Okay. Next on the agenda is introduction of FY 20-14, Title IV, providing for the revisions to city ordinances of Title IV. So this is something, let's see, I need, before I start talking, I guess I need a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the FY 20-14 introduction of Title IV, providing for the revisions to City Ordinance Title IV.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Clark, seconded by Member Van der Zanden to introduce our changes to Title IV, providing for the revisions to City Ordinance of Title IV. Before I invite public comment on this, I just wanted to briefly go over some of what's in here. There's part of this lists out explicitly in code what types of sales, small sales, would be exempt from collection of property taxes, and there was a list in there. There was like craft fairs, and you want to skip to the I maybe don't.
You're on sales tax or room tax?
Sales.
Yeah, that was the sales tax. There was a change to the room tax. There's a little change to the room tax. There's also some changes in here that we had to do. Again, we talked earlier about the online sales tax and the AML. State Sales Tax Commission. There's some language in that in here for that as well. You got the list of exempted sales that would be exempt from collection of property of sales tax. It was yard, garage sales, flea markets, craft fairs, homemade baked goods, lemonade stands, not including alcoholic beverages. I like that one. Homemade ice cream stands and locally produced eggs. So that was that list of exemptions that we worked on. I did want to thank Jake for this. He did a lot of the heavy lifting early on when on the council last year and getting us started on this Title IV revision. So anyway. I guess I will take public. I will invite public comment for folks who wish to comment. No comment.
No.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to go on record that I just don't want taxes at all. I'd like to see you guys start lowering taxes.
Okay. Any questions for the public comment?
You say that one more time.
I'd like to see you guys concentrate more on lowering taxes than raising defense taxes altogether.
I would just, staff just alerted me to, also in here, I forgot to mention, this is all introduction, right? This is introduction for public comment. We'll take public comment, public hearing, rather, on these changes next month. We're only introducing this, but also included in this introduction is a seasonal fuel excise tax. I forgot to mention. It's on fuel for motor vehicles, gasoline fuel tax, diesel fuel tax. Specifically exempted is residential fuel, heating.
Aviation.
Oh, and aviation as well, that's right. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Any other public comment? Okay, to the council for consideration. Go ahead.
Okay, sales tax law. Again, I don't want to, I'm going to try not to be snarky about this, but I don't support introducing this at this time because I think it's premature. I think that it's needs work. It focuses too much on tracking down and punishing offenders, and it gives too much authority to the city administrator. And I think it completely misses an opportunity to focus our attention with our tax policies on trying to stimulate productivity and the local economy. So I won't be supporting this. An example here, again, of why it needs some work here. So, page 120 of the packet, item F. At the top, which would be 4.15.170. There may be published from time to time the names of sellers delinquent in remitting sales taxes and the amount thereof, provided that the names of sellers who signed a confession of judgment for the delinquent sales taxes, penalties, and interest, and a stipulation to postpone such stipulation as of the date on which the names are submitted to the publisher, will not be published. It's like, needs work. I won't support introducing it to the public at this time.
Any other comment? Go ahead, Pedro.
I think the excise tax is premature, too. Especially with the legislature trying to up our taxes. We're already at about 50 cents a gallon that we're paying out, counting everything, and to add another dime to that, I'm more worried about the kickback from the community because nobody gets to vote on it. We just have the right to tack it on there. It seems a bit underhanded or something. And also we have an unencumbered AMLIP account for road maintenance that's $250,000. I don't know exactly how that works without Phoebe explaining it, but I don't know what diesel water fuel emulsion is. I hope they don't sell that here.
Any other comment? If the council wants to take the excise tax out, we can, by a simple motion, we can take this off what we publish. But I thought we were trying to build up some money to take care of our roads. And let me address the AMLET's unencumbered road account. That was something that the council did a couple, 2 or 3 years ago. It was in light of the declining tilt taxes and forest tilt receipts and forest receipts that we normally spend on roads. And that was intended to basically extend our ability to maintain roads once we anticipate losing that federal funding. Through discussions of this body in work sessions and whatever on this excise tax and discussions of, that we've had with staff, we've talked about this a while. I think I remember we talked about this at work sessions. This would generate about $35,000 a year. That in our draft budget, we've already talked about dedicating some of those when it comes. It's not in our budget, but we've talked about dedicating those funds to, securing a better rock source and perhaps maybe doing a drainage, the citywide drainage plan where we can maybe leverage that money with some FEMA money to do to have a road engineer to come in and do drainage studies and recommendations for improving our road system, so that we're not spending all that money on maintenance. So this was an attempt to try to find some money to do those long-term planning issues to help us save money in the long term by having our roads in better shape to begin with, so we don't have to spend as much on maintenance. So that's kind of what I summarizing what I remember some of the discussions about excise tax was. And if Mr. Putin and the Saudis have their way with it, we're going to be seeing lower prices anyway. I don't know. Whatever. It just seems like our roads are. It seems like people. One of the things people are most concerned about is the roads and the way they have a tendency to tear up our rigs around here. And to the extent that we can address some of those problems, I think makes sense for folks. But I don't know. Maybe there's some folks who don't want to spend any taxes, and I don't know how we take care of roads without having taxes. Because we're not getting the funding that we used to from National Forest receipts and fields. I saw three all at once. So Council Member Taylor hasn't spoke yet, so I'll go with him first.
I was just glad Joe mentioned that diesel water fuel emulsion, because I was wondering about that, and maybe staff can enlighten us. I'm not aware of a pump that delivers that, or at least is supposed to.
So the diesel water emulsion is a mix that people will do. They'll dilute the diesel to get it to a point where they can still run the motors but use less gasoline. So it's a fairly common practice. I don't know that anybody sells it. It was included in the excise tax ordinances that I reviewed, and it was included in the IRS excise tax recommendations. And I included it because I thought people might start to sell this type of diesel, not necessarily through the pump, but I didn't think that it would hurt to have it in, and it would account for anything that might happen in the future.
We had a member run to the restroom, so let's just take a break here for a second. Did you have a follow-up on the emulsion?
Well, I was just wondering if maybe it maybe it really doesn't matter, but we, of course, could amend the motion to remove that line from the posted document, but I don't know. What do you think, Joe? That diesel water, yeah, mention of diesel water fuel emulsion since it's not sold, and
I don't
anticipate it being sold.
I don't understand what Tom, where you got that. I just can't imagine if it was mixed water and diesel.
It's fuel, instead of the fuel itself, there are environmental and economic benefits. It reduces the black smoke out of diesel, so there it's a cleaner burning diesel fuel. I'm just Googling it, and that's the theory, that's a quick theory behind it, is that bigger company boats, I would imagine, big boats and stuff like that, that are watching their carbon credits and their carbon taxes and all that stuff, will probably start looking at tools like that to reduce those numbers.
I know we don't.
Are we ever going to sell it? Probably not, but.
Yeah, and I agree, actually, in retrospect, after your comments, since we don't sell it, maybe it doesn't belong there.
Shelley, was your comment related to the emulsion thing, or I don't, okay.
We're going to reconvene now.
Okay, we're reconvening.
And I just would like to point out that if you leave during a general meeting or special meeting, you need to raise a question as privilege. It's not like a work session, we can just get up and leave.
Okay, well, I'm 65 years old and I need to pee.
Okay.
I'm gonna.
You'll need to follow the proper procedure.
Okay, fine.
You voted a party. I can't. I just need to follow the rules.
Okay.
Okay.
Just a correction. They did clarify on this that it was seasonal, and if it is, it's not going to be 35,000. It'll be under 20.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Can we reconvene the meeting?
We are reconvening. Sorry. keeping me in line. That's what you need to do. Go ahead, Shelley.
Well, you know, my comment was that when we were discussing the excise tax, that was before we knew about the bill that was going through the legislature to double the vehicle and boat fuel tax. So I gather, I never can remember whether it's gone through the House and is on its way to the Senate or the other way around, but so I guess depending on how strongly you feel about the increased expense, I could make a motion to delete this, you know, until we see, you know, at some point in the future if that bill is going to pass or not. Okay.
Well,
okay, I haven't made the motion.
Oh, I thought you had made it.
Okay,
it's go ahead.
An appropriate time. Okay, so I move to amend FY 2014 by deleting section 4.15.230, the seasonal fuel excise tax.
Perfect.
Agenda item 10B.
Perfect.
Let's
do
that.
Okay, so we have an amendment to remove the entirety of section 4.15.230 seasonal fuel excise tax, moved by Shelley Owens and seconded by Joe Clark. Discussion on the amendment. Discussion. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to add one other comment. I'm not exactly opposed to an excise tax. I'm opposed to springing it on the public because we have the power to do so. Without getting positive feedback.
I would note that there is public hearing on this next month, and this will be posted, and we should alert the public to the fact that that's on there. They might approve of it as seeing the value of something that is essentially like a carbon tax. They might propose something lower than or different from 10 cents a gallon, I suppose, and we might hear that in public comment. Or we probably will hear some comment that, from people that don't want it at all, if it remains on. I would note that an awful lot of this tax will be paid by the charter operators who use, according to Tashua, as I recall when we met with him here on some issues with management of the dray, excuse me, of the tank farm, that they use close to 100,000 gallons of fuel a year. And that would be a significant amount of income to us from the charter fleet, which comes from outside visitors, not so much from our own. Most of it would be raised from people from outside, I suspect, not so much from inside, from residents.
Brittany, do you? I just want to make sure you're following along and you're okay so far.
Yep, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. Another comment? Yeah, it's the amendment.
Councilmember Owen.
Yes.
Cassapis.
No.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
No.
Member Van der Zanden.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
No.
Councilmember Warner.
Looks like a deciding vote, doesn't it? I'm going to say no.
Motion fails. 4 no, 3 yes.
Okay, we're back to the main motion.
I move to delete the bullet point reading diesel water fuel emulsion. Form.
That's what that meant. Get their magic wand.
Get that form in my hand.
Okay, so we're a motion by Councilman Taylor to remove diesel water fuel emulsion from that list of fuels. It was seconded by Joe Van der Zanden. Any discussion on that amendment while being written out?
Sorry, can you tell me what page it's on?
125.
Thank you.
It would be 10D.
I think I got it all.
Okay. Any other discussion on fuel, on removal of diesel water fuel emission?
Emulsion.
Section and letter on there. I have them right up. That's for the next one.
What did I do?
The section and letter.
10D.
Now, section 4.15.230. And then the letter,
because that way when I go back 3 days from now, it'll be edited. I'll know where we are.
I'm just
seeing me. Okay, yeah, put that on there. Sorry, it's messy writing. So I said to delete from section 4.15.230 the bullet point reading diesel water fuel emulsion.
Okay. So that's clear. Removing diesel water fuel emulsion from the list under section 4.15.230. Okay. Ready for?
Yes.
Okay.
Councilmember Clark.
No.
Councilmember Owen.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapis.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner.
We're removing the bullet?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. The bullet.
We're removing the bullet. Yeah, I got lost.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Can I change my vote?
Okay. Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
All right, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, back to the main motion. Diesel, water, fuel motion has been removed. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Okay.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owen?
Yes.
Mayor Cassifer?
Yes.
Vice Mayor, I did that wrong. Councilmember Clark?
No.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
No.
Councilmember Warner?
No.
Okay, motion passes 4-3.
Okay, it's to me already. Okay, Mayor's report. I included this. It actually made the major materials, take-home materials. So I don't think I really need to go over it much. I did want to mention, if you want to scroll down to the bottom, we did talk about those letters I sent to legislature and governor and chief of staff regarding AMHS, the ferry stuff about supporting the intent of Senate Bill 279, which puts in a public board to run the ferry system. Kind of said we support the concept, but we would like to be included in further development of that legislation. The one to governor's chief of staff was regarding the information that's presented in the Northern Economic Study and some of the changes that need to be made with that and corrections that need to be made there, as well as ensuring that municipal governments are represented in their in the governor's reshaping task force. So those, I want to talk quickly about that. And also, I don't know, folks might not heard, but Alaska Airlines is going to begin service a little bit early this summer because of our situation with our dock. I guess May 21st will be their first flights in. First couple weeks is only going to be twice a week, but after that, it'll be weekly or daily. So they're going to start a little early this year to maybe help us out. I wanted to mention on Wednesday morning at 9:00, we've already signed up for it, but the feds are having a teleconference on state and local responses to the COVID-19 stuff. That's the coronavirus stuff. We've got the information to sign in or to call in. We'd like to do it all from here. And also we can't exceed 3 council members because we don't have enough time to notice it for Wednesday morning.
It starts at 9.
So is there anybody that wants to participate with me and Tom? Okay, we got them. We got 3 people. Okay, 9:00 Wednesday morning.
Got it.
Cool.
Thank you.
And we'll have the conference line set up and be able to listen in. I don't know if they're going to be taking comment or not. It doesn't sound like it, but we'll at least listen to what the feds have to say. Anyway, that's that. Also, I wanted to call folks' attention to the fact that as of today, apparently there's a person or persons basically recycling their Alaska beer bottles at the beach. In our recycle containers down there. Those really are intended for visitors and people that are enjoying the beach and you know, has a drink and just want to responsibly get rid of their litter on the beach. And it's not intended for people to dump their household recycling down there. So for further notice, we're closing those bins. And hopefully whoever's doing that will take them to the DRC like the rest of us does. She writes here, for the amount of beer bottles that was left there, it's only $1.50 to get rid of them. So somebody was saving $1.50 by cramming up our recycling bins. I'd say something snarky right now, but I'm not. Let's see. I think that's all I have on my notes. That's it. Is there any other council members wish to make a report? Okay. City council questions and comments?
I just hope you all come to the Wednesday 5:30 budget meeting. I think that'll be a good one. Should be real interesting.
Okay. Now we're to the agenda for public comment on non-agenda items. Anybody want to comment? Doesn't appear so. So with no further business and with the nod of a head, I will take unanimous consent on an adjournment.
Because I'm going to call it all things.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, well, I'll probably show up at, if not, I might send someone else, but someone will park the bike up in.
I might not make it.
Well, yeah, give me a heads up. I'll make sure that, you know, I don't have anything else. All right, thanks.
We should schedule to get together to work on a plan for contacting DNR. So maybe the three of us ought to plan to meet soon.
I can get a hold of Chris and find out when he's available for a conference call. We'll talk to him.
Do we? Yeah, what's Chris's
last name?
Cappadelli?
Oh, he's the guy who did the original.
Oh, that's right. Carbonet. His father was a judge.
Oh, is that right? Well, he's a lawyer, right?
Yeah, his father's well known and very highly respected.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he still a judge?
I think so.
So we meet first and
we'll come up with what we want to talk to him about.
Right. And then actually, you know, we try to call him.
Hi, Jimmy.